Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Thinking Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell. So we've got a pretty cool little thing we're going to show you today or talk about. Our topic is focus on what you want, not the obstacles. And I think we've talked about this before, but this sort of comes from a Simon Sinek video that he talks about the, I guess it's the four or five lessons of life. And the first one is this idea of focusing on what you want, which is what most people do not do. I think about 2/3 of the American public focuses on the obstacles, which is a lousy way to live, in my opinion. But I think let's listen to it. And Kelly, I'd love to hear your takes on this.
Perfect. All right. I'll get this queued up and we'll come back to you in just a second.
The first is to go after the things that you want. Let me tell you a story. So a friend of mine and I, we went for a run in Central Park. The Road Runners organization, on the weekends, they host races. And it's very common at the end of the race, they'll have a sponsor who will give away something, apples or bagels or something. And on this particular day, when we got to the end of the run, there were some free bagels. And they had picnic tables set up. And on one side was a group of volunteers. On the table were boxes of bagels. And on the other side was a long line of runners waiting to get their free bagel. So I said to my friend, let's get a bagel. And he looked at me and said, the line's too long. And I said, free bagel. And he said, I don't want to wait in line. And I was like, free bagel. And he says, it's too long. And that's when I realized that there's two ways to see the world. Some people see the thing that they want, and some people see the thing that prevents them from getting the thing that they want. I could only see the bagels. He could only see the line. And so I walked up to the line. I leaned in between two people, put my hand in the box, and pulled out two bagels. And no one got mad at me, because the rule is you can go after whatever you want. You just cannot deny anyone else to go after whatever they want. Now, I had to sacrifice choice. I didn't get to choose which bagel I got. I got whatever I pulled out, but I didn't have to wait in line. So the point is you don't have to wait in line. You don't have to do it the way everybody else has done it. You can do it your way. You can break the rules. You just can't get in the way of somebody else getting what they want. That's rule number one.
So there's so much truth in there, that in there.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much truth in that. Isn't that interesting? We talked about it a lot, like the kind of the lens that you look through.
Right, right. So pontificate about how that hits you and all that.
For me, it is always about how the lens you're looking through. Again, is life happening for you or is life happening to you? You know.
Good point.
You know, is it the whole? You know, I'll say this sometime when I'm trying to help people understand what it is I'm trying to get at. Is it, you know, gosh, what next? you know, or is it, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
You know, it is, again, just another way of kind of demonstrating that way of looking at the world and the lens that you're looking through and filtering things through.
Right, right. Well, this is maybe the essence of it. If you're just winging life, you're wired for survival and you're focused on the problems. That's, you're naturally inclined to do that. And what a lousy way to live. You know, I think both you and me have been blessed to be wired to be optimistic and to look at the possibilities, not the obstacles. But 2/3 of the people are not. But let's verify this. Let's talk to our friend ChatGPT and see what she says about this. G, are you there?
Right here, John. What's on your mind?
So some people in the world focus on the obstacles, and some people focus on their goals and what they want. And I want you to help us figure out what percentage of people in general in the United States focus on the obstacles. And as you help us figure that out, factor in that most people, that all people are innately wired for survival, which makes them fear-based. And let's also factor in that probably in surveys, people want to make themselves look good. So I'm not so sure they would be honest that they look at the obstacles. But considering those two factors, give us a guess at what percentage of the American public focuses on the obstacles.
We don't have a hard stat for something like that, but let me give you a grounded guess. People lean toward negativity due to that survival wiring. Psych studies often show a negativity bias. People pay more attention to threats. Now, add the fact that folks do present themselves as more positive in surveys, but even so, I'd estimate maybe around 60% lean toward obstacles in real life. It's a majority, but not overwhelming. There's still a decent chunk who keep their eyes on the prize.
Okay. You know, I would probably say it's closer to 2/3, but okay, they're not a precise number. But really, what a lousy way to live life with looking at the obstacles. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience, Kelly, but I know you have because you have employees. So you go to employees and you're all excited about something that will revolutionize your business. You're totally into it and you lay it out and immediately they focus on the obstacles. You know, before the seed of the idea even has a chance to get a ray of sunshine on it so it can just grow just a little bit, the employees are stepping on the friggin' idea, you know, keeping it from growing. And have you ever had that experience?
Oh my gosh. We, over the course of the last year and a half, have been going through really a major transformation in terms of just flipping our business model, doing a lot of changing structure within the organization. And it has been that every step of the way, even with people who have a real growth mindset, their immediate kind of default, you know, with implementing new tools, the way we're doing it is working great. It's like, okay, well, let's pull out facts and look at them.
Yeah.
Is it actually working great? You know, or is it just what you're comfortable with?
You know?
And so, it's every turn with a team, there's pushback in one way or another. You know, even as good as I can be at influencing people and, you know, sharing my vision and getting people excited about the vision, that default or kind of negativity bias or those limitations that people are setting on themselves, you know, those ceilings that they put on themselves or those limitations, you know, always seem to rear kind of their ugly head in the situations like we've just described where change may be coming. I mean, that's the brain's automatic default to push back on that, you know? And so, but 100%, that is something that, you know, as you were starting to describe it, I'm smiling because I'm like, yes,
in unlimited
conversation, I'm like, yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you, this is what just blows me away. 99% of people are just winging life. And so, you know, the amazing thing is the subconscious mind is so easy to manipulate. It's just phenomenally easy to manipulate, and it can shape how you look at the world. So if you feed yourself every day that I'm looking for what I want to achieve, and I'm acknowledging the obstacles, but I'm not focused on the obstacles, I'm more focused on what I want to achieve, it's an infinitely better way to do life. And I see that, as Chad helps us see, the majority of people are looking at life the opposite way, and so unfortunate.
Yeah, I think too, you know, this is what we're talking about too, is because you just alluded to this. It's different than that kind of toxic positivity, which is like where you're in reality, you know.
Right.
Because what you just mentioned too is, it's not that you don't see the obstacles. It's like when we're, I have a quick story to share around this that really, you know, will help, you know, kind of see how this shows up in different ways. But, you know, as I was just mentioning, you know, as far as the seeing the actual obstacle, it is like when we sit down and, or when I sit down and I'll use thinking time, for example, and I'm talking about something, a new initiative I want to introduce to the team, or I am looking at, okay, what are the potential obstacles to this thing? How could this, you know, this idea or be derailed, whatever the case is? And then I'm looking at, all right, how can I overcome that? I'm asking myself, is that true? Is there any validity to that? So there's a whole thinking process that's going around it. So it isn't necessarily ignoring the obstacles. It is, and this is one thing that I built into my life GPS, because, and there's two things that I've built in that are around this idea of life is happening for you, you know, seeing the, you know, the goal and not necessarily the obstacle.
Right.
Is I've changed my wording in my life GPS because we are wired for survival. We are wired for fear. If anybody who's been listening to these episodes knows that kind of one of my weaknesses, one of the challenges that I had was worrying, getting caught in worrying loops, which is being focused on a problem. And even worse for worrying, it's on a problem that may not ever exist and likely doesn't.
Right.
Which makes it even, you know, so there's the one thing I built in about changing to as soon as I feel that coming up, that worry, or I get stuck in that loop where I'm immediately triggering to gratitude because it brings me back to the present. Like, this isn't happening. You realize that, right? You know, like,
right. Yeah, right.
But the other thing is I changed some additional, which is I focus 95% of my time on the solution.
Mm-hmm.
I spend 5% understanding what the challenge is, what the obstacle is, but the rest of the time I spend in solution and action taking mode, so that I don't live in that place of being so focused on obstacles. It's like, okay, yeah, these exist. How are we going to move past those? What's our plan when this comes?
Right.
If this comes up, what's the plan to overcome it? You know, so there's a real strategy behind it. It isn't just, again, you know, that toxic positivity where you're like, everything's going to work out. Okay, yeah, it will. But let's also plan for, you know, let's say you're running a marathon. Let's plan for not getting blisters at mile 15. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we know that this could be an obstacle. That could be one of the things that stops us from achieving the goal. Okay, well, how are we going to overcome that obstacle and plan for it, overcoming that obstacle? So I just wanted to put some further context around and how you can build things into your life GPS that help you program your mind to kind of begin to frame things that way for yourself,
right,
with those mechanisms in place, because it was a game changer for me.
Well, and you know, I think one of the things that hits me today pretty hard is this whole idea how most people, 98% of them, are winging life, really probably more than that. But and a couple of things have really made me think about this. The first one was this example of how people are naturally inclined to focus on the obstacles. The other one, I was telling you sort of off the air, you know, Ginger and I went to a funeral this weekend of someone that committed suicide, 34 years old, had a wife, a one-year-old baby, and his biggest challenge in life was dealing with inheriting millions of dollars. Millions of dollars, kills himself. I'm like, In fact, I'm going to tell this to my students tomorrow, but I'm going to go, why did that happen? Because life's a state of mind. And you've got to have a system for influencing the thoughts that are going on in your head, and a system for stepping back from your life and thinking. And I tell you, one of the things that is mind-blowing to me, you and I have both been using AI big time, and I've been using AI during thinking time like you have, which is now a whole new level, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no, it's so fun.
Well, I got, you know, one of the things that has transpired over the last 2 months, I think I've mentioned this, that I am now evolving to teaching the methodology to MBA students as opposed to undergraduate students who are typically 20 years old. Well, the difference with an MBA student is they're on average 28 to 30. They've been out in the real world for a few years because they have to. That's one of the requirements, is go out in the real world. Now they're coming back in, they're pivoting, and they're writing a check for like $175,000 to get an MBA. Well, perfect people for me to teach, because they are serious about success. I'm not that interested in working with people that aren't that serious about success. I wish them the best of luck, but I see the evolution of Tibby from me, that now we're in year 13, is yes, teach it to the people that are super serious. So I'm creating what is known as, the class I'm teaching is Advanced Leadership of Self, the Science of Leveraging Yourself. And I'm creating the Center for Advanced Leadership of Self at the University of Texas. And I'm sponsoring a worldwide symposium next year on advanced leadership of self. And this is what is amazing. So I'm ChatGPT is helping me all this. And ChatGPT comes and says, you know what's interesting about this? And of course, it knows my stuff. It says, here's what the entire academic community worldwide misses. They miss this concept that 95% of your daily actions are unconscious. And it says, you know, that's why you're the leader of this academic endeavor of advanced leadership of self, because you're addressing it and nobody else is, and you're giving people the how of it. That's what makes it advanced. We're giving you the how. And, you know, it is so inspiring to be able to take this important field of study in human nature and take it to this next level. And it all sort of goes back to, you can't be just winging life. It's just, you know, more than ever, you can't be just winging life. Would you? I know you're.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're on the same page. Yep. You got to have a plan and a strategy for success, and then a way to wire that in. And,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, until next time, we will see you.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute-a-day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for a free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich, and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.